You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. Welcome back to another episode. I am DJ Ambush here with Dr. Bukasi Dubé. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing well, my man. I'm doing well. It's good to see you. It's good to be back. It's good to be having these conversations. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's been a busy week. Going to be doing some traveling next week for the holidays, and I'm looking forward to some of what we've been discussing and what we're going to discuss today so I can take it to the Thanksgiving table.
So this is your prep session for the Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes. Everyone at the table has some type of medical degree. I'm the only one without one. So now I get to join the conversation and be a little bit, oh yeah, I heard about that. Are you aware of these numbers? I can come with a little bit. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. Thankfully, I have you in my corner. You made me feel a lot more safe about traveling. We talked about, you know, the recycling of the air on the flights, and you were just like, it's actually cleaner air in the flights than it is in the airport, which I was just like, wait, what? So thank you. This is what it means to get accurate information and not get your science from the memes. So thank you tremendously for that. Could you do the pleasure of introducing our guest?
Well, yeah, of course. So today, man, this is, it's awesome having Dr. Christopher Evans join us again. He was our very first guest for the show, and it's an honor to have him back on. He's an infectious disease doctor at Oregon Health Sciences University. Dr. Evans, please introduce thyself. It's good to have you back, my man.
Thank you, Dr. V. Good to see you both. It's always a pleasure to be here in this space to talk to community about such an important issue around COVID and, you know, how, you know, COVID affects our families, especially as we're going into the holidays. So this is a really great time to have these conversations. So thank you for having me back.
Thank you for joining us again. So this week we'll be discussing breakthrough cases. This is a very hot topic. It's the first thing people mention when they are vaccine resistant. It's, you know, well, you know, if you get vaccinated, you can still catch it. You know, the advantages to being vaccinated is something they just kind of skim over. So let's hop right into the discussion. We heard from community members who are fully vaccinated, but later needed to be hospitalized due to COVID-19. Why is this happening?
So I think that, you know, one of the things we know about vaccines, for most vaccines, not every vaccine, is that there's always, you know, there's never 100% for everyone. I think the measure for some of these new COVID vaccines, though, is whether or not people are ending up in the hospital and dying from disease. We knew that just even some of the high efficacy rates of, you know, 90-95%, there's still a small percentage of people who probably got sick and probably people who got symptomatic disease. I always say that everyone brings a different kind of immune system to the table. So our younger folks probably do much better with responding to vaccines as opposed to our older folks. If you are severely immunocompromised or, you know, you're on medications that suppress your immune system, then your immune system may not have the most robust response to the vaccine. That said, though, I think the best sort of prevention is going to be the vaccine, because I think, 95% prevention is definitely better than no prevention at all. And so, whatever keeps you out of the hospital and keeps you safe, I think is going to be good. And the good thing is that, you know, we know that even when people are vaccinated and they get infection, their infections may either be milder or less severe and shorter. And so again, at the end of the day, vaccines are much better.
Okay.
Totally agree. Mm-hmm. Totally agree. I'll just add that, you know, in the state of Oregon, what we have seen is that our breakthrough cases are very, very small. It's about 4% of all the 2.6 million people that we've fully that are fully vaccinated. So that's a very, very small number. And of that 4%, the vast majority, I'm talking close to 99% of those folks have not ended up with severe illness. Mm-hmm. So just to reiterate what Dr. Evans just said, you are better off getting vaccinated because you're protected. You're much safer. The chances of getting ill, the chances of getting of ending up in the hospital are very, very, very small.
Right. You mentioned something, and we've talked about this before in the past, being immunocompromised. This is a phrase or a terminology I don't actually remember hearing before COVID-19. But it really just speaks in layman's terms to people that have pre-existing conditions. I think having a greater discussion, or at least having continued discussion around us identifying whatever our pre-existing conditions are, people living in those in that situation, being immunocompromised and not knowing it, could help inform the public. So for you two, what are some things that you think, some conditions that would be considered immunocompromised that a lot of us may not even consider?
So a couple of ones come to mind. You know, this is just because these are the folks that I have the pleasure of caring for. So HIV definitely is something where you're immunocompromised. If you've gotten a transplant, a lot of times when you get transplants, you have to be put on medications that are, you know, in a way suppressing your immune systems. And so therefore your immune system may not necessarily respond the most appropriate way. If you're getting cancer treatments, I mean, part of, you know, cancer treatments, you know, could be, you know, the fact that we have to suppress the immune system, and just having cancer in itself, or being a cancer survivor. We know we had the unfortunate passing of Colin Powell, who was fully vaccinated and had to, and I think had some underlying health conditions related to malignancy and so cancer. Other things too, you know, I think if you are on dialysis, I mean, there are other things I think that, you know, you may not have the most robust immune system, some things that are probably more, I don't know, egregious or just a higher probability of having severe outcomes. But again, there's a lot of things. And then at the end of the day, and I say this very respectfully because I'm going to go home and see my older folks. Older folks probably have a little bit of underlying, you know, deficiency to them. We know that, you know, your response rates to a vaccine when you're older are probably not as good to when you're younger. That's why we give our older folks over 65 a high dose flu vaccine, because we know that they're going to need a little bit more of a punch of a vaccine to kind of help them sort of get the antibodies that are needed. And so I think there's a lot of different things. If you're on steroids, that's another thing too. So yeah.
Yeah, so I totally agree with Chris. And I like how you mentioned, respectfully mentioned that elderly folks by design have weakened immune systems, are immunocompromised. You know, anything that causes your system to not respond well can be in some ways considered to be a state of being immunocompromised. We talked in previous episodes, talked about chronic stress syndrome, right? Mm-hmm. That's another form of being immunocompromised that we don't typically talk about. Actually, I remember when I was in medical school, we didn't talk about chronic stress syndrome. Yes, granted, this is light years ago. Light years ago, but at the same time, it's. I'm glad to see that it's something that's at the forefront of people's brains now, and people are talking about it more openly and honestly, and highlighting the deleterious effects of chronic stress. Hmm.
Okay, so does a breakthrough case mean that the vaccines aren't working?
No, actually, it doesn't mean that vaccines are not working. I think Dr. Evans articulated this well, that, you know, there's nothing that's 100%.
Right.
Right. So our vaccines are very, very effective. 95, 96% effective. But what we have to remember is that there will be, you know, that 3, 4, 5% of people who will not respond as well, who will not respond with as robust an immune response as those that don't have, as those that are immunocompetent. So even if you are immunocompetent, you can still be a breakthrough case. So as stated earlier, it's highly unlikely for anyone to end up being a breakthrough case. But just because there's a breakthrough case doesn't mean that that doesn't mean that the vaccines are not working.
I want to thank you both for your patience in some of these questions. I know some of the information is repetitive that you'll be relaying to us. But I think what's happening now is we have a greater community discussing science and medicine, something that we're completely alien to. But now we feel as though, because of different talking points that are out there, we feel as though we need to be having these conversations. And it's very, very important that we have at least a base understanding of how all of this stuff works. So to sit here and talk about the efficacy and of the vaccines, no vaccine is 100%. That needs to be said over and over again. That's just how vaccines work, period. No vaccine is 100%. So why are we having an expectation of this particular vaccine to be just a brick wall against any COVID infection? It's unrealistic if we're familiar with the way vaccines work.
That's true. I mean, you said it very, very well. It's nothing is 100%. Even, you know, when people have a cold or when people have a fever and they take Tylenol, right? Not everybody's going to respond to it. And so some people respond better to ibuprofen. So it's, I'm trying to put it in layman's terms so that people understand what we're talking about. And that's a similar situation where not everybody's going to respond the same way as others.
And one thing too, I think is important to recognize, is that, you know, the vaccine doesn't kick in the first day you get the shot. And a lot of people think as soon as they leave the building, they have this shield around them. And, you know, it takes your immune system a time to sort of develop antibodies to fight against the infection. So, you know, and especially with our mRNA vaccines, it takes two shots. It takes two shots, either 3 weeks apart or 4 weeks apart. And it takes a couple of weeks after that to develop sort of antibodies. Another thing too is that, which I guess there's more evidence around it, why we're even talking sometimes even around boosters, is that, you know, your immune system may sort of forget some things or may not remember it as well. I always think about it like if I gave you a word and that was your first vaccine and I asked you about that word, you know, 2 weeks later, that's your second vaccine, you'd remember that word. But if I asked you about that word 6 months later, you might remember it. And if you're older, maybe your memory's not that good. And so I need to remind you. And so that's what our booster shots are, is that reminder. So the further you get away from your primary series, for some folks, you may not remember that word as well. And your immunity might go down. And therefore, you need that booster to kind of remind your immune system again.
I love that analogy. That is, I mean, that clearly articulates what we're talking about, right?
Absolutely. So, okay, if you live in an area with the high COVID-19 transmission levels, or spend a lot of time amongst unvaccinated people, you could get COVID-19, even if we're fully vaccinated. What are some additional steps that we can do?
That's a very good question. I like, because it speaks to what we're facing in the health, as healthcare providers, right? We know that the vast majority, if not all, of healthcare providers in the state are vaccinated because of Governor Kate Brown's mandate. Mm-hmm. Yet we still have to care for folks that are unvaccinated. folks who may end up in the hospital or in the clinics who are unvaccinated. So what are the chances? Are we seeing more breakthrough cases in these folks? And what is happening in the healthcare industry? And what I can tell you is that we're actually not seeing a significant increase in a number of cases in the healthcare population compared to the general public. And that's in part due to some of the mitigation factors that they've put in place. You know, the face masks, the good hand hygiene, the physical distancing, you know, avoiding large crowds, those things still work even in an environment where folks, there's a higher prevalence of COVID-19.
With the holidays coming up, we are going to be a mixed company. We are going to be, you know, around people that are vaccinated, some people that aren't vaccinated, some people that what was the phrase he used? Immunized. They may be using some alternative medicine to stave off infection. So yes, I agree. We continue to take all the precautions we've been taking before. What's some ammo? What's some advice we can give to some of our listeners on how to navigate some of those tough conversations this holiday? You know, to kind of try to better inform those members of our family and our friends that still may be vaccine resistant.
I think the first thing I always think about is to really acknowledge where people are coming from. I think it's bad when we start off with a conversation that you're right, you're wrong, I'm right. And I think it has to be sort of, well, tell me, what are your fears? Because a lot of mistrust around things are sort of rooted in fear. And then that fear is sort of cultivated by misinformation. And so I think to kind of get into the root of that, I think for most of us, if we're going home to share, you know, break bread with our families, that we should be trusted sources in terms of, you know, hey, I got the vaccine. I was okay. I didn't grow a third arm, you know? And so I think, you know, we love our families. We want to make sure they're safe. And part of that safety is, you know, making sure that your family members are protected. I mean, before we had a vaccine, there were too many family members that unfortunately passed away, and we were not able to be there at bedside with them. So celebrating, you know, together and celebrating that, you know, we're healthy is such an important thing. And again, being vaccinated to protect everyone is such an important thing. So just having those conversations from a place of understanding and not accusatory for anyone. Yeah.
That's you hit it on the head right there. You hit the nail on the head right there. It's understanding, seeing each other as people, right? Responding to each other as human beings, and also having the humility to say, you know what, I may not have all the answers. You know, but I'm here to listen to you. I'm here to acknowledge you. I'm here. I see you. In Ndebele, they say "Salibonani," which means, you know, I see you, I acknowledge you. In some cultures, they say "Namaste," right? It's the same thing. Recognizing that we all have differences, and some people may have you want to meet those people where they are. You want to meet whoever it is where they are, and also acknowledging that they may teach you something that you may not be fully cognizant of at the time. Chris, I have a question for you. We started talking before we started recording, right? And we were talking about this question that I had earlier from an audience a vaccine talk from earlier this week, where someone asked in patients that have long COVID, do we see long COVID in, are there any numbers that we can talk of or any information that can be shared about long COVID cases in vaccinated folks as opposed to those that are not vaccinated?
So thank you for asking that question. So there's more data coming out. So I think the bottom line is that the probability of long COVID in someone who's vaccinated is just less likely. I've learned in medicine, never say never. So I think that, you know, there are probably, I think there was a case, some cases out of Israel about healthcare workers who got vaccinated and ended up having symptoms after they sort of had a breakthrough case. And some of those symptoms might've persisted sort of beyond sort of 6 weeks and so forth. But I think that it is just less likely that you're going to have the persistent symptoms when you have been vaccinated. You know, there are folks who got COVID back in the beginning of 2020 are still today suffering through sort of, you know, shaking and neuropathy and brain fog and a lot of things. And so, yeah, we don't want that to happen. And so, yeah, it's think there's more literature coming out because more people are being vaccinated. I think there's small case reports, again, as, you know, some breakthrough cases and people having some persistent symptoms, but again, less likely. And we don't know, again, how long those symptoms will last if you have symptoms beyond those 6 weeks and you have been vaccinated, but probably less likely to be persistent.
Yeah.
What are the most common long COVID symptoms that we've been seeing or that have been reported?
So by far the most common is this fogginess of the brain, okay. The chronic fatigue, the neuropathy, just malaise, not feeling well, low energy that we kind of alluded to. So those are by far the most common things. And I actually know one person, I have a good friend who had had long COVID, and his was actually pretty significant. He got COVID prior to the vaccines coming out. This was in June of 2020.
Okay.
And has gotten lost in his neighborhood where he has lived for a long time. This is someone who's young and is in his early 40s. So it's real. It's something that we have to take seriously. And I just wanted to tag on to what Dr. Evans said earlier, which is the chances of getting long COVID after being vaccinated are incredibly low. Why? Because the chances of getting COVID after being vaccinated are very, very low. So it's it makes a strong argument, a strong case for getting vaccinated.
So having long COVID after being vaccinated is like a fraction within an already small
yes.
number of
yes.
yeah, probability.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So possibly there are people in our family, in our community right now that never got vaccinated that are dealing with long COVID and don't even know that they actually have long COVID.
So they may have these symptoms that they cannot understand, that they cannot explain. Right. But yes, so they may not fully understand that, oh, it is because of this post-viral sequelae that they're experiencing.
And just to kind of tag on to, this is something, of course, we've seen because so many people have been infected with COVID, but we have seen post-viral syndromes where people have recovered from, you know, whatever virus it is and persistently have symptoms, after that. So it's not unusual to have this happen in a small segment of people. And again, we may not know why, you know, some people get COVID and they bounce back and other people, they have these persistent symptoms. I mean, especially with the lung findings, we know there's scarring that happens in the lungs because COVID does a lot of damage to all your organs. And, you know, some of that scarring is not going to be reversible per se. So, you know, people will continue to have ongoing symptoms of shortness of breath just because, again, they've had some of the damage from COVID.
And if someone does find out that they indeed have a long COVID or dealing with some, you know, something like that, do they have to wait until those symptoms are treated before they get vaccinated? Like, how does that work exactly?
No, I mean, I would say that if you're unvaccinated and you've recovered, and you're not coughing anything, get vaccinated. So I think, I think there's a lot of more literature coming around to kind of figure out whether or not vaccination may or may not improve your symptoms. So I think it's a separate entity about being vaccinated. I think if you're unvaccinated, get vaccinated, because even the fact that we know that natural immunity may not last as long as vaccine-induced immunity. And so definitely vaccine immunity is much better if you've recovered from COVID. And then I think there are more clinics, more specialized clinics being formed around long COVID. Here at OHSU, there is a long COVID clinic that people could get referred into, where there are multi-level specialists, pulmonologists, rheumatologists, psychiatrists, to help sort of manage some of the many symptoms of long COVID.
Excellent. So I'm starting to see the graphic now, the infographic. Are you vaccinated? No, get vaccinated. I mean, are you unvaccinated? No, get vaccinated. Are you unvaccinated and have you had long COVID? Get vaccinated. Are you like, no matter what the scenario is, are you unvaccinated and play baseball? Get vaccinated. Are you unvaccinated and going to the store? Get vaccinated. So no matter what the apprehension is, the fact of the matter is, if you are unvaccinated, you're putting yourself at higher risk. Therefore, just get vaccinated.
That is very true. Actually, I'll take it a step further and say, you're not just putting yourself at risk, you're putting even those that are around you at risk. So you may have mild symptoms, but you may take it home and give it to other folks that may not do as well as yourself. So get vaccinated to protect yourself, get vaccinated to protect others.
Right.
And one thing too, I think, you know, one of the things you realize too about hospitals is that, you know, all the other issues that we deal with never went away because COVID was here. And think about the times that our hospitals were flooded with sick folks who had COVID, or ICU beds were full. What happens if you have a heart attack? What happens if you have to see your doctor to get your chemotherapy for your cancer? So this has like multi-level, far-reaching effects beyond just COVID itself. As Dr. Dubé said, this is a community effort. And so, you know, people say, oh, you know, I wear my mask, I stay home, that kind of thing. But there are other sort of, you know, ramifications of you not getting vaccinated.
Mm. Oh, thank you for bringing that up, because guess what? We still have... yesterday we had about 452 patients. As of this morning, we had 452 patients who are in the hospital due to COVID-19. We had 52 deaths yesterday due to COVID-related. We had 52 COVID-related deaths yesterday, bringing the total to 4,855. So my heart aches for those families that lost their loved ones. We're not out of the woods just yet, and we need to do whatever it takes to make sure that even one death is considered too much for us.
Agreed. Dr. Evans, thank you for joining us. Do you have any final words or advice for our listeners as we move to this holiday season?
You know, I think, you know, there's so many times that, you know, Thanksgiving or, you know, Christmas, Kwanzaa, however you celebrate the season, has been so, you know, it's less about family and what we can sort of buy and so forth. And I have to say, I am going into this season thankful that my family is healthy. I think it really makes Thanksgiving really, truly thankful that we're here to celebrate it with our loved ones, to recognize that many people did not make it to this step, and to just really to be thankful, and to realize that, you know, the only way that we're going to get through this is as a family and as a larger community. And we need to all think about each other when we go to get vaccinated, because it's not just about us.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I feel like there's a lot of really good information in this episode. Wish everyone the best going into the holiday season. I know there are a couple of friends of mine have already started Christmas decorating, and Thanksgiving hasn't even gotten here yet. Well, thank you. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will catch you next week. Actually, no, we won't catch them next week. We're taking a week off for the holiday.
Yep. We gotta, you know, take time to give thanks to everybody. We gotta take time to give thanks to each other, to be grateful for what is going on in our lives. So I echo your message, DJ. I echo your message, Dr. Evans. Thank you.
All right. We'll catch you guys in 2 weeks. Peace.
Thank you. Thank you again for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.